The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
All right, it's Coke, it's Coke, and welcome to the weekend. It is Friday, November 8th, 2013, and it's got to be 4:20 somewhere in. For being on the road in Boise, Idaho, I'm out here visiting my family in a climate that is far, far drier than I am used to. God, how did I ever live here? Still recovering a little bit from a cold as well, so apologies for the little bit of a stuffy nose that I've got going here. And we are seeming to have some sort of spotty internet today, so if I fade in and out, I apologize in advance for that, but not much I can do from here. But on today's show, keep your fingers crossed, we'll stay online and we'll bring you all sorts of good information today. Coming up in our interview segment today, very good friend of the show, one of the most important activists out there, Michael Krawitz from the Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access will be joining us. He's got some new updates on what's going on with the Veterans Administration and medical cannabis down there in the state of Florida. That's right, medical cannabis in the state of Florida. Some shocking new things that are going on there in the developments with the VA and his activism down there. So we'll learn all about that at half past. And speaking of veterans, celebrate all federal holidays, so we will not have a live show on Monday. But today in the Radical Rant, I'm going to take some time and take a look at veterans and medical cannabis access. What is the state of medical cannabis access for most veterans these days, specifically with respect to post-traumatic stress injury? That's right, injury, folks. I don't call it a disorder when your brain reacts to trauma like that. It's an injury. Also on today's show, it's Rockin' Friday, and I don't know if Herb Thrash will be calling in or not. Last I heard, he was getting a makeover from his little daughter, Clara. So he may be in the makeup chair still, but he's got a great song for us to celebrate the victory in Portland, Maine, where question one passed by a 2-1 margin, legalizing the possession, or at least ending criminal penalties for the possession of marijuana, 2.5 ounces or less in Portland, Maine. So we got a band called Whitcomb today, Portland, Maine, and that'll be our Rockin' Friday tune of the day. Oh, and behind the headlines, you know, the past three days, I've been ranting about these cases in New Mexico. We told you about the case of David Eckert in New Mexico, the case of Timothy Young in New Mexico, both who were stopped by cops, taken to hospitals, and subjected to multiple anal searches. Guess what, folks? There's a third case I've got to tell you about today.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, November 8th, 2013. Russ Belville. New Massachusetts Ballot Committee. Here to Lee from MassLive.com. Having won decriminalization and the legalization of marijuana for medical use through the use of the ballot, activists are now planning to put a full legalization referendum before Massachusetts voters during the next presidential election in 2016. William Downing, who has been involved with marijuana activism since 1989, is the treasurer of a newly registered ballot committee called State. Last November, as Massachusetts approved medical marijuana, voters in Washington and Colorado fully legalized and regulated the drug. Both opponents and proponents said they will be watching how the new policy fares in those states to make their case to voters in 2016. Bay State repeal plans to put a non-binding public policy question about whether to legalize marijuana before voters in 2014, before making a push for binding language, which would be reviewed by the legislature first, on the 2016 ballot as an initiative petition. New poll, majority of Marylanders favor legalization of marijuana and consequences other than jail. From the Washington Post, a narrow majority of Marylanders support legalizing marijuana, and more than 8 in 10 say the consequences for possessing small amounts of the drug should be fines or rehabilitation rather than jail time, according to a new poll. The Goucher poll found that 51% of Marylanders supported making marijuana use legal in the state, while 40% opposed legalization. When presented with a list of consequences for possessing small amounts of marijuana, 49% of residents supported policies that focus on fines, while 34% said they favor rehabilitation. 6% said they prefer measures that focus on jail time. Meanwhile, 90% support the use of marijuana for medical purposes, according to the poll. Judge sentences medical marijuana dispensary owner, says law is, quote, one of the worst, end quote. From Michigan Live. Even as he sentenced a Grand Rapids medical marijuana dispensary owner to probation, a Kent County judge called the state's medical marijuana law, quote, one of the worst statutes that was ever written and put into place, end quote. David Overholt earlier pleaded no contest to delivery or manufacture of marijuana, and on Thursday, November 7th, he was sentenced to 2 years of probation, a $1,000 fine, and 150 hours of community service. Circuit Court Judge Mark Trusok used the sentencing as an opportunity to offer his own opinion about the state's medical marijuana law passed by voters in 2008. Quote, I think the medical marijuana statute has become a nightmare for some good, honest people, he said. There are courts all over that don't know how to handle it because it was such a poorly written law, end quote. how Lady Gaga kicked her 15 joints a day marijuana habit from celebbuzz.com. We knew about Lady Gaga and her love of weed, but we didn't know she was getting high every day to cope with the pain from hip surgery. She said in a new interview with Attitude, quote, "I was smoking 15 joints a day, no tobacco, a day. It was a habit that eventually occurred when the pain got so bad with the hip," end quote. So, how did the... just yet. The singer added that she still indulges in her herb every once in a while. Quote, "Now I smoke with a little bit at night, just for fun, you know, but not to cope. It's the difference," end quote. Durbin and Kirk differ about marijuana from the Chicago Tribune. Senators Dick Durbin and Mark Kirk staked out opposing positions on marijuana yesterday during a coffee with constituents on Capitol Hill. Durbin, a Democrat, said he supported the use of medical marijuana for could not support decriminalization of marijuana because he worried about it being a gateway drug. He said several friends had children who had become addicted to serious drugs. Senator Kirk said he did not comment directly on medical marijuana or Illinois' new law, which takes effect next year. He said he was worried about young people's academic achievements. This has been 420 Radio News for Friday, November 8th, 2013. I'm Russ Bellbell. When we come back, we go behind the headlines for the third day in a row and the third story of Mexico police subjecting someone to bodily cavity searches. You're listening to the Russ Bellbell Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today.
Let them bring in the beat.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Bellbell Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We've got a great late-night lineup at 10 p.m. Pacific weekdays here at 420radio.org, but if you missed any of those shows, you can catch their replays early Saturday morning, beginning at 6 a.m. with the Drug Truth Network, at 7 a.m. Cannabis Cure TV, at 8 a.m. Green Stream Podcast, and at 9 a.m. Hemp Beach TV, right here on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. 14 after the hour, and time for us to go behind the headlines. And as we reported yesterday and Wednesday, we told you of the shocking case in New Mexico that's gaining a lot of national attention. David Eckert, who was stopped by police for running a stop sign in a Walmart parking lot of all places, was suspected of possessing drugs by a Deming, New Mexico City police officer. Eckert consented to a search of his vehicle. Folks, don't ever do that. But he consented to a search of his vehicle, and a police dog named Leo alerted to the smell of narcotics at the driver's compartment. The canine's handler told the Deming officer that Eckert had a history of drug possession and smuggling by hiding narcotics in his rectum. Based on the drug dog alert, the canine handler's tip, and the officer's observation that Eckert appeared nervous and was clenching his buttocks, the officer sought and received a search warrant for Eckert's person. The ensuing ordeal for Eckert's consisted of a transfer to a hospital in a where he was subject to at least 12 hours of invasive searches and medical procedures, including two manual probes of his anus, two x-rays, three enemas, and a colonoscopy. No drugs were ever found in or on Eckert or in his car. Eckert has filed a federal lawsuit against the cops, judges, and doctors involved, claiming that in addition to the humiliation and pain that he suffered, the warrant was invalid for the county in which the procedures were carried out, and the time for which he was probed, and that the judge granted the warrant so on essentially an anonymous tip, and the canine dog hadn't been certified since 2011. Now, shortly after this story broke, word leaked. And this time, Timothy Young made a turn without signaling. Police pulled him over, suspected him of carrying drugs, and brought in the same uncertified canine, which alerted to the smell of narcotics. Young was taken to the same hospital as Eckert and subjected to some of the same procedures, including manual anal probes and x-rays. And just like Eckert's warrant, Young's warrant was only valid in the county he was arrested in, not the county where the hospital was located. Now, a third victim, a woman who wishes to remain anonymous, has come forward to report her sexual assault, this time by members of the Customs and Border Patrol, as she crossed the New Mexico border to and asked to spread her genitalia and cough. Female agents performed manual probes of anus and vagina. When no drugs were found, she was taken to the El Paso University Medical Center, and she was forced to defecate in front of medical staff. Then came the x-ray, another cavity search of vagina and anus, which in the hospital notes were bi-manual. That means two-handed. And topped off with CAT scan. And still, no drugs were found. Now, the shocking part about these stories, and as shocking as they are, the terrifying part is that in all three cases, the cops just might get away with it. Despite the violation of the time and location requirements in the in Young cases on the warrants that were issued, courts often give great latitude to police if their actions are determined to be in good faith. And in the woman's case, she's dealing with the Federal Border Patrol officials who are given far greater latitude to conduct searches for drugs. And unfortunately, all of them, as the New York Times reported, the U.S. Supreme Court in April of 2012 decided with a 5-4 majority that, quote, officials may strip search people arrested for any offense, however minor, before admitting them to jails, even if the officials have no reason to suspect the presence of contraband. This decision affirmed the decisions of lower courts that held people may be strip searched after arrest for violating a leash law, driving without a license, failing to pay child support, driving with a noisy muffler, failing to use a turn signal, victim all folks, where the Fourth Amendment has been shredded in the war, and we don't, and we won't have much more of it to last us much longer. All right, folks, that time means 420 here in the Mountain Time Zone.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go!
Меня зовут Даня Данько. Я редактор журнала High Times. Отвечаю за отдел культивации, или проще говоря, выращивания. Приглашаем вас в Амстердам с 24 по 28 ноября, чтобы посетить ежегодный турнир Cannabis Cup, уже 26-й по счету. Там мы сравним множество видов марихуаны и гашиша из смежных кофешопов. Еще у нас там выставка товаров, семинары по выращиванию, ночные концерты и вручение премии за лучшие в мире сорта марихуаны. Хотите получить 10% скидку со стоимости билета? Используйте промокод Данько на сайте cannabiscup.com. Ждем вас!
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Cannabis Cup van 24 tot en met 28 november in Amsterdam in de Van Genthallen bij Amsterdam Roest. Verwacht alle coffeeshophouders uit Amsterdam die hun beste nieuwste producten laten zien. En hun wiet en hash wordt gekeurd door een panel aan deskundigen. Wiet-experts die een uitreiking gaan doen wie de beste wiet en hash heeft van het land. Verder heel lekker eten, drinken, sapjes, toffe optredens in de Melkweg. Dus zorg dat je erbij bent. 26e editie van de Cannabis Cup.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Politicians who believe in criminalization, making deals with big pharma, and trading big money behind the scenes is not a way to stay in office. I will go to bat for you. I will go to Burning Man and smoke my brains out. I'm Terry Joyce, and I approve this. I'm you.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour, and as you know, coming up this month is Veterans Day. We won't be having a live show. We cover all the federal holidays, 420 Radio. So I wanted to bring on, before we hit the weekend, one of my favorite activists, hard addiction, veteran access to medical cannabis they need. He's from Vets for Medical Cannabis Access, Michael Kralitz. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing fine, Russ. It sounds like we might have a little delay, so we'll take it slow.
Okay, well, slow. After this, I tell folks a little history of how, where we've been trying to get cannabis veterans. I was curious about us on this issue, and I understand you're down in Florida with some pretty amazing. I'm so sorry. I was just wondering about Florida, if you could tell me about Florida.
So we're in Florida. Veterans Cannabis Act is working on international for to reach out to veterans and reach to the VA itself and reach out to those organizations, you know, service organizations to educate them about the VA medical marijuana policy and to help along to talking points about understanding the VA policy and how it relates to their benefits. Answer things that they activated and have the knowledge that they would need to have. And we're working with the Cannabis Action Network, Veterans Committee of Florida, and the Normal Florida Veterans Committee. And we're reaching out across the panhandle to several VA facilities. And we've got a lay of the land for us before we got here, and we're connected with the people that have the initiative, which they're trying to get a ballot. And then there's an initiative underway to try to get a bill in the. We're very, very excited about the relationship that we've been able to start with the VA system.
So it might be kind of tough if they're not medical marijuana. I think they tend to be a little more concerned with some of these issues What's the reason in Florida from the yeah? How are the VA in Florida responding?
It's amazing, absolutely amazing. You know, my theory has always been that if we the VA didn't try to a spot, that if we we have a lot of information that they don't have access to because the DEA is over their shoulder and they're just not able to move freely. I thought if we could put ourselves in a position to make us helpful to the VA, maybe they'll take advantage of that. It's a little bit kind of a bit more attack than the mail usually is, but it's attack we take it. And it seems to work out quite well. The VA hospital system, we got in and we got to meet with the chief of staff, and we did meet with some of the chief of staff. And then from the first meeting, it's been a multiplier effect because these hospitals communicate with each other, and they got to know us, and they knew that we weren't a threat, and we tried to follow the rules, and we didn't get in their face or try to put tables up in the wrong places where we had to deal with the police or anything. And it really has worked to create a good relationship. We're now I was able to get the top representatives of this hospital administration in each location to come out and meet with local vets. Never met the leadership team of their hospital. They talk to their doctor about medical marijuana and they get the iron hand, So this has been a really new thing. And towards the end of the day today, we actually were able to meet with the representatives of one of the largest hospitals in the system, Gainesville here, and have a really, really heartfelt conversation with their leadership team's representatives and have them meet with vets. And it was just really meaningful, very meaningful exchange. We gave them our information. They took it back tight. You can still want it on your website. Your website isn't inside the VA hospital. Our flyers are now because we handed them to them in a friendly way.
That's excellent news, Michael. We're speaking with Michael Kravitz, a veteran for medical cannabis. Can you give the web?
Yes, sir. Friends from medical cannabis. Medical cannabis and Facebook. And it's actually easier to go through Google to get to the Facebook page for some reason. But anyway, and we have a great presence on Facebook. You can put out a lot of information about the day to day. I've written a very, very hard, creative writing kind of reports on this. And I'm told from the very first that we met with the very first VA or the staff of the other VAs were reading our report and following what we were saying. I'm writing a new study actually for ESPN today, which is going to be a doozy. This is what happened. So come and check out on Facebook. If you know any veterans, denied treatment, they have to pay, has medical marijuana card or not, and it's and also, for whatever reason, you can't get their medicines vended.
Michael, what are some of the issues that now, even in the marijuana states, I mean, still a lot left to be done with access, right?
If I think you're what you're saying is a issue, but we have a situation in the situation that affects every vet. And that's the problem. And that is the veterans, we like the authority because it says you won't be punished using medical marijuana. You follow the law. You're okay. And that's what it was a very heated plantation for bloody country. So in a lot of ways. But the problem is also they said they aren't allowed to recommend cannabis. But if they're not allowed to recommend cannabis, that means you go in a VA hospital anywhere in the country, legal or not, the doctor to tell you think about cannabis. If he says anything that might be positive or construed as positive, that could be seen as a recommendation. They can't do it. So they're really prohibited very strongly from talking about it at all, which means veterans all across the United States have been dying from age and better doctor. And that's not right. It's wrong. It's upset. The pretty safe that aren't legal medical marijuana, their doctors punish them with impunity and they have to go case by case and fight every case to protect them. There's no legitimate reason to take away someone's being treated as a community of veterans. That's ethical. So we can fight it, but they think they can do it, and they do it. And, you know, 20 plus one, we have 20 states plus the District of Columbia where the veterans now have a shield. That doesn't work so many other states. We have to basically go back to Excalibur again.
Mm-hmm. Even in the 20 current medical marijuana states, not all of them recognize post-traumatic threats. What is the latest on getting that recognized in those states?
Well, that's another interesting about, you know, we have a number of medical conditions, and we're working on those that represent in the states for adding threats. We got that passed, and now in Oregon, as of October, to get a recommendation, and as of January, card, you know, with their medical condition. Interestingly, we're right at the same spot we were when we were going to the legislature for the very first time in Oregon. That's where we are in Colorado right now in the fight. This fight is kind of rolling from state to state, and you know, we'll do what we can to make sure all the different states have you know, the qualifications that the veterans. We'll just keep, you know, working until we get there. But, you know, also, it's important. Legalization is not a benefit. I mean, we veterans from Cannabis Act, we veterans helped pass measures before because of what I just said, because they do the same kind of walk, sky up, in the committees where it was supposed to be used. Because of that, because they recognized that. We were able to use that as a tool to help us pass Amendment 64 as a veteran issue, which will have access, and it worked. But the problem, if you go to the legal in the state, that's not going to do it. That's not enough to help you, you know, get a urine test at work. It's not going to be follow the policy. So, probation is a stopgap measure or a stopgap.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael Kravitz, Veterans for Clean Access, focus on the show. Thanks for being on the show. I'm sorry about the bad connection.
Yeah, no problem. It's another thing to get you, and I love you, Sam, and love you guys. And anytime, you know,
Much. Michael Kravitz, Medical Cannabis Access, and I encourage everyone here to do right by our vets and visit their site today so that you can make a donation or help them in some way. We've got so much more that we have to do to get the veterans the access they need, and this Veterans Day, we should all be thinking of that. There's somebody close to you that could really use this help. When we come back from our break, we're going to take some time to talk a little bit more about these veterans issues as we approach Veterans Day. And once again, remind you that on Monday, we won't have any shows, won't have our live show for Veterans Day because we take our federal holidays off. But starting next week on Tuesday through Friday, we are bringing you a special, a whole week look at another issue that's important to us here at the cannabis community, and that is the rights of parents and medical cannabis. That is, if you're a parent that uses medical marijuana, what are your rights, and specifically how Child Protective Services has been used lately to attack medical cannabis rights and medical cannabis using patients in the medical marijuana states. So we've got all sorts of great guests, including Diane Goldstein from LEAP, Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana, Sarah Arnold from the Family Law and Cannabis Coalition. Trying to remember everybody. Diane Fornbacher from Ladybud will be joining us. Charmy Golson from Michigan Moms United. Lindsay Reinhardt, my friend from Idaho here, who was forced out of the state for her advocacy of medical marijuana, and so much more. All next week, two guests per show. We're going to be talking about CPS and its effect on medical marijuana and families. All right, you're listening to the Russ Belville Show here on 420radio.org. We're coming to you live from Boise, Idaho here while I'm out on the road. We're going to take a short little break, and when we come back, we will have more for you here on 420 Radio. Stick around.
Smoke trees till you get what you need now. out. Designer drugs and mention smoke to get through the day. You always get so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit...
Well, how do you? My name is Bob Weir, and I play with the Grateful Dead. And I just like to say that I've seen too many people just absolutely wasted by heroin. So if you're thinking about ever doing that, I'd have to caution you not to.
I've seen too many people, like up-and-coming young musicians, that get into heroin and they don't up-and-come anymore.
Just keep chugging on.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple?
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Despite improvements, veterans still need more medical marijuana access. I want to dedicate this rant to the veterans out there. Veterans of the Vietnam War were some of the first to report that smoking marijuana helped them cope with the horrors of war. Their return to the States was marred by the politics and drug war hysteria of the 1970s, and marijuana became identified not as a medicine for traumatized soldiers, but the intoxicant of the rebellious, long-haired, anti-American youth. However, some veterans became activists and fought through the Just Say No 1980s and the I Didn't Inhale 1990s to bring awareness of cannabis for victims of trauma. One such veteran is Michael Krawitz, who served in the Air Force in the early 1980s. He was injured in the line of duty and required 13 surgeries to recover. At first, he worked on medical marijuana issues in his native Virginia, but soon his activism took him all the way to the United Nations, where in 1998, he testified for access to medical cannabis. In 1999, he testified to the National Academy of Sciences Institute of Medicine, which produced a report on marijuana that, among other findings, recommended further investigation into medical cannabis applications. As Krawitz continued his activism into the 2000s, more states were passing medical marijuana laws, but only one, New Mexico, was including post-traumatic stress as a qualifying condition. Many vets, however, were able to qualify for medical marijuana due to other conditions, such as chronic pain. Those vets also reported incredible success with cannabis for managing the post-traumatic stress. That benefit of medical cannabis may be more than just a treatment. It may be a cure for post-traumatic stress. An associate professor of psychiatry at Yale University, R. Andrew Sewell, believes that the use of cannabis can help the brain form new patterns of thinking to replace old terrifying patterns suffered by victims of trauma. He explains that the best treatment for post-traumatic stress is exposure therapy, where victims recount their traumatic episodes verbally and in writing over a 12-week course until the memories are no longer overwhelming. But for some, the memories are too strong. Sewell thinks this may hinge on defects in trauma sufferers' CB1 cannabinoid receptor. And studies on mice and apes have shown stimulating the CB1 receptor with the THC from cannabis helps them recover from trauma. Thus, adding a medical cannabis treatment to the exposure therapy improves the success of that therapy. Sewell said, quote, "It's not like they'd have to keep taking cannabis the rest of their life. We're talking about a cure," end quote. While veterans using marijuana in most states are criminals under state law, these few states with medical marijuana laws protected veterans for their use. Unfortunately for them, the federal government still considered them criminals if they used cannabis. Most veterans require medical care from the Veterans Administration or VA hospitals. In certain cases where a veteran requires opioid painkillers like OxyContin or Percocet, the VA requires the vet to sign a pain contract. There is a problem with the diversion of narcotic prescriptions to the black market, and these pain contracts require vets to submit urine screens to verify that they have been taking their meds, among other requirements. But since the VA is a federal agency, cannabis is not a medicine to them. And when they were finding cannabis in the urine screens, they would consider that a pain contract violation and deny the veteran their painkillers. Essentially, vets were given the choice, painkillers or pot. That didn't sit well with Krawitz and the veteran community. A veteran should not have to choose between the best drugs for his pain and the best drug for his post-traumatic stress. Krawitz began lobbying the Veterans Administration to ease the pain contract rules, at least for the veterans in the states that had legalized medical cannabis access. During his fight, Krawitz found other veterans and allies in the medical cannabis community and formed Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access in 2007. Together, they continued to work with administrators at the VA until finally, on January 31st, 2011, the VA issued Directive 2011-004 entitled Access to Clinical Programs for Veterans Participating in State-Approved Marijuana Programs, which proclaimed the following. Veterans Health Administration policy does not administratively prohibit veterans who participate in state marijuana programs from also participating in VHA substance abuse programs, pain control programs, or other clinical programs where the use of marijuana may be considered inconsistent with treatment goals. While patients participating in state marijuana programs must not be denied VHA services, the decisions to modify treatment plans in those situations need to be made by individual providers in partnership with their patients. Or in other words, as the New York Times reported, quote, doctors may still modify a veteran's treatment plan if the veteran is using marijuana, or decide not to prescribe pain medicine altogether if there's a risk of a drug interaction, but that decision will be made on a case-by-case basis, not as a blanket policy, end quote. Now, veterans in the 20 current medical marijuana states don't always have to choose between medical cannabis and VA healthcare, though marijuana is still prohibited in VA hospitals, and VA doctors can't recommend it. Access for veterans suffering specifically from post-traumatic stress has also improved. In 1996, California became the first medical marijuana state and remains the one with the most inclusive set of qualifying conditions. A doctor can recommend cannabis for any condition he or she believes it will alleviate, including post-traumatic stress. As other states followed, they resisted California's any condition language and instituted very specific lists of conditions. In trying to prevent people who would fake it to get a medical marijuana card, these states refused to add conditions like anxiety, depression, or post-traumatic stress that require a subjective judgment of illness. Not until 2007 did New Mexico pass a medical marijuana law, including post-traumatic stress. But since the VA directive, and along with growing public awareness of returning veterans and their tribulations, three more states, Delaware in 2011, and Maine and Oregon in 2013, have amended their medical marijuana laws or passed new ones that recognized post-traumatic stress as a qualifying condition. And, of course, Washington State and Colorado have gone a step further by legalizing marijuana possession and use in 2012 for all adults, regardless of medical condition, providing the best access of all. While these are positive developments, Krawitz and VMCA won't be satisfied until every vet in every state has access to the cannabis that can improve their mental and physical health. There are still 30 states where a veteran with cannabis is just a criminal pothead. There are still 13 medical marijuana states where a veteran cannot qualify with post-traumatic stress for medical cannabis or use legalized recreational cannabis. There are also many other hurdles to clear for veterans seeking medical cannabis. VA doctors are not allowed to write recommendations for federally illegal cannabis, so vets suffer the additional expense of finding a private physician who will. However, the author of the latest medical marijuana state's law, Illinois, has filed an amendment to allow veterans being treated for approved conditions by the VA to automatically qualify for the state's medical marijuana program without another doctor's recommendation. The bill has made it out of committee and awaits a hearing by the full Illinois House of Representatives, approval by the Senate, and a signature by the governor. Even if a veteran has been able to jump through all the required hoops, they still face discrimination in employment, education, child custody, even organ transplantation. Most medical marijuana states still allow employers to drug test and fire or not hire veterans who fail for marijuana metabolites, even if they're medical marijuana patients. The federal government still withholds student aid to anyone convicted of a drug offense, which haunts vets who got busted for weed in any state, medical or not. Vindictive spouses have been known to use a veteran's use of marijuana as evidence against them in child custody hearings, and only a handful of medical marijuana states protect against that. And shockingly, veterans in need of life-saving organ transplants have been kicked out of transplant programs when their medical cannabis use becomes known, since most programs will not operate on known drug addicts, with only a few of the latest medical marijuana states prohibiting that practice. This Veterans Day, help Michael Krawitz and the Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access by visiting veteransformedicalcannabis.org and offering your help or donations so that every successive Veterans Day, more and more of our heroes will have access to the cannabis they need. If they can carry a rifle in the sand, they should be allowed a joint in their hand. Thanks, folks. That's all the time we got here today on Hour 1. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. My thanks to Michael Krawitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access for all the information and the interview, despite our technical difficulties that we were having. And a salute to all the veterans out there who have fought to keep this country free and to protect us in our times of need. Despite what we may think politically about how our military is used, we cannot deny that the folks serving in that military deserve our respect. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is coming up next. Toker Talk Radio. It's open lines, open topics. Anything you want to discuss at 971-5311. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
The earth. So you gotta protect it, the mother earth, you got to respect it. By using that pen, what you go on, all papers will be run. Soupino will finally be known about the plant the mother has grown. This time around, you know if you haven't heard, we love the
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. Take a seat, you manage, you grow it, you giant, you